Football is on at Yard House. Step up your game at Yard House with Monday Night Happy Hour from kickoff to the final play, featuring appetizers starting at $5. Enjoy game day favorites, including boneless wings, pizzas, poke nachos, and more. Plus, catch all the action on over 20 flat-screen TVs and enjoy the largest selection of draft beer with over 100 beers on tap. This season, make Yard House your home for football. Visit yardhouse.com for details.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to the first ever and debut episode of GCRN Wars. I am your host, Steve Phillips, and Jimmy, as always, is...
GFG on Mike, hello.
Hello, and also in this debut episode, we have a very special guest, my younger brother, Brian. Hello.
Hello, my name is Brian.
Hi, Brian.
American to the point.
We'll start out with a quote in the words of Ronald Reagan: in this present crisis, government cannot solve the problem. Government is the problem. How does this relate to healthcare issues that are plaguing us today?
Well, and for those that are wondering, the topic, we'll get into that in just a second, Brian. The topic is healthcare and dirty government and the horrors that they've instilled upon us. This show is basically going to be a giant controversial discussion-based show.
This is basically our debate show. This is basically take the ranting out of – well, I don't know, but the way I would equate it is take the ranting out of Headshot and you get this.
Yeah, basically constructive –
civilized conversation.
Yes. So anyways, yeah, we'll go back to your statement. Can you repeat the question one more time?
In the words of Ronald Reagan, in this present crisis, government cannot solve the problem. Government is the problem. Now, unfortunately, today's progressive government does not seem to understand why that quote was instilled upon us. And now, within the next 10 years of this healthcare reform being in place, most of us are going to end up paying a negative price for it.
Yeah, I can see this definitely hitting home, especially for people that that don't have, at this point in time anyway, healthcare involved with their jobs. Because I know that when I was at that point working, for instance, just fast food jobs, I could barely afford to keep my vehicle running and pay my bills, let alone worry about paying for extra taxes or extra bullshit to, and yes, you can swear in this, extra bullshit into, paying healthcare when, you know, I can understand that everybody should have access to it at a cheaper, affordable price, but at the same time, the government should not be running it. The government has taken too much of a active role in every bit of U.S. government business and sticking their nose in other countries, as well as trying to act like this is a blessing in disguise in terms of helping us when I'm sure that there are some things good in this bill, but at the same time, there's probably a lot of crap we don't even know about hidden inside of it.
Exactly.
I'm honestly just here for color commentary because I don't know how this whole new thing would affect me anyway, but because I get Social Security and I'm on Medicaid or whatever it is that goes along with that, and I don't like going to the doctor anyway, this really doesn't affect me, but I am pretty much totally against anything that this quote-unquote president is going to do. Because, you know, everybody thought George W. Bush was a bad president. I guarantee you Obama's going to be 10 times worse.
We've gone from one extreme to the other.
Yep. And it doesn't help.
I'll tell you the truth, I was...
Oh, go ahead, Steve.
You can go ahead.
I was going to say, it doesn't help, you know, and this is probably going to be a very controversial show because it's going to kind of let me vent some of my frustrations a little bit. It doesn't help that, oh my God, we now have a black president. Holy crap. You know, it's like, everybody's like, oh, well, it's about time that we needed it and blah, blah, blah. No, we didn't.
And it's not even so much about that. It's the fact that we need to change, but I don't quite think this was the way to go. I mean, yeah, he was something totally different, which is what everybody was wanting after the screw-ups created by Bush. But honestly, I'd gladly go back to the way things were.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not even the fact that he's black. It's the fact that he's very, very unprofessional in what he does. Apparently, my mom was telling me that, you know, the first, I don't know, two or three lines out of his mouth the other night were jokes about Tiger Woods. What the hell?
Yeah, the president's not supposed to be a comedian.
No, and it's like on the campaign trail, you know. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with this, but it's just something that should be kept separate from the public eye. You know, he's, you know, into the March Madness thing. You know, he was doing this last year in 2008 when he was running for president. You know, you can show that you could be cool, but does that really fit in with being a leader?
Oh, I mean, it does, but it doesn't. So, I mean, I don't know. I think things should be done a lot differently, and especially with and bringing any healthcare topic. I think that this should have been something that they gave the public, the we the people part, complete knowledge of, and had us actually vote on everything instead of having the government decide everything for us. Like, here, you can't think for yourselves, so we're going to do it for you. This isn't the 1700s, people.
Yeah.
We can read and write and make our own decisions. We're all educated, well, most of us, and informed. So at the same time, we should be able to decide this, not have the government figure out how they're going to blow our money for us.
Yeah, that's where the controversy begins now. And throughout the 20th century, we're becoming more and more educated, but now we're starting to go backwards as far as education is concerned because the education system has become so commercialized by, child marketers and pretty much progressive, for example, the history books. They leave important things out that pretty much are critical to knowing pretty much anything that resembles what's going on today. They don't want anybody to know that this very thing, well, something similar happened in history, per se, when Franklin D. Roosevelt was a president. You know, he tried to come out with what was called the Second Bill of Rights, and which also included, you know, health care for all. And this was in 1944. It's a job for everyone, a home for everyone, an education for all. All these things would be nice, but with too many people in the country to allocate all these resources efficiently, you know, it's a trait of socialism, actually, if you know your basic economics. And it's un-American, you know.
Well, like, I mean, on the one hand, I do agree with having, you know, a healthcare reform so that everybody has access to it and at a, you know, hopefully cheap, affordable cost, considering a good percentage of people don't have healthcare. But at the same time,
you shouldn't be penalized for not taking into the government's version. If you got your own, you know, keep it, because, you know, it's kind of unbelievable that the IRS of all agencies is the one in charge of collecting the fees on this. And while there's really nothing they can, they already got their hands tied in the first place with the people who don't even pay any kind of tax whatsoever. But pretty much what's going to end up happening is that they're going to start taking, you know, if they're going to fine people for not using the government-run health care, they're going to start taking out their income tax returns. And, you know, whether the U.S. citizen likes it or not. And speaking of U.S. citizen, I heard somewhere that our illegal immigrants have been granted amnesty with this bill as well, and they're covered under it.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, that is bullshit. In my opinion, we need to stop letting so many of these people back in our country. We need to, you know, hone in, stop tossing money at other countries. I understand that Haiti just, you know, got hit by a thing, but other countries should also help pitch in, not just the United States, which is already trillions of dollars in debt. This should be something that, you know, okay, you feel bad, help them a little bit, but for the most part, we need to stick to our own country and get it back up and running. Well, like the isolationism from World War II era. You know, the only reason we joined in the war was because they bombed the shit out of Pearl Harbor. Otherwise, we were an isolationism country. We stayed the hell out of everybody else's, and for the most part, our country did fine with the exception of the stock market.
Yeah.
Have we even withdrawn troops from overseas?
No.
That's the first fucking thing that needs to be done. Going back to what you said, Steve... You know, we need to focus more on our own country. You know, I can understand about helping out, like, when natural disasters happen, like Haiti and all that. But we need to get the fucking troops out of that whole situation over there. Let those countries deal with their own shit, and we need to focus more on this.
This is why we have, like, you know, church groups, humanitarians, and individuals who want to give out and help out. That's why they're here. It's not the government's job to do this. You know, it's not the government's job to, you know, play helper. You know, you can't help anybody else unless you help yourself first.
Yeah, you have to be on strong ground to actually be able to, you know, do anything. I mean, it's this healthcare reform. I could think even like going back as far as everything Obama's done so far. You know, the tax rebates, the cars for clunkers, this. You know, bailing out all these companies and especially these banks that are still, by the way, giving bonuses to their people. We could have been using this to create brand new jobs, which would in turn, instead of just handing us a little chump change, they could be helping people that are unemployed or living off the system actually get off their ass and get a job and pump their money back in the system. So that it would actually keep the economy sustained instead of keeping in this downward spiral, which we're currently in.
Well, yeah. We've got a lazy generation that's been brought up, you know, the me generation, and pretty much people are being trained on how to live off the system so they don't have to work for a damn thing. And that's one thing that pretty much, you know, pisses us all off. Because we're here working our ass off, and they're just sitting enjoying our tax dollars.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where, like, if somebody wants to legally come into this country, that's more than fine. But illegal immigrants, they need to be kicked the hell out and not offered health care, for Christ's sake.
You know, if they want in America, they should be able to go and do it legally. There doesn't take much effort.
Well, and stop handing out these damn visas and make people actually either become a damn member and pay taxes like everybody else or kick them the hell out.
Yep.
It's just getting to be bullshit because we're handing our money to people that aren't helping our economy whatsoever. They're just draining it.
Like, yeah, not just the illegals went up, but, you know, like you said, the people that aren't even contributing to the system. You know, there's something I said, you know, back in October. You know, I have here, there's, you know, such a sense of entitlement coming from the lazy generation. And where there is no incentive, there is no productivity. Where there's no productivity, there is no money made. Where there's no money made, there is a desolated nation because the government goes bankrupt. We are borrowing money like the British monarchy did in colonial times. Have their own tea parties against us because they will no longer accept our debts. We are about to lose our A++ credit rating to China, and they are starting to turn away from all of our, you know, bonds and pretty much anything else they invest in the American dollar and, you know, our soil. And that's who we get all of our debt, you know, all our debt spending from. And when they start demanding that money back, where is it going to come from?
Of course, we can't taxpayer pocket.
Exactly. That's one of the things they're trying to do. And one of the things that's probably going to happen in the healthcare. Now, you guys probably already know that with the current system in place, with the government programs, you know how, like, you go to some, like, you go to Walgreens or Meijer, they'll give restrictions on certain services and medications. They'll say, you know, this, only so much of this will be covered and only so much of that will be covered. And as you see, progressively over time, you lose more and more benefits, yet the premiums either stay the same or go up. It just becomes another cash cow for the pretty much it's just another dummy program to zap taxpayer dollars out of us.
Well, see, and another thing is I wish that they'd, instead of pumping money into this, yeah, everybody could use health care.
Yeah.
And for those of us that can't afford it, do have it. But at the same time, they should be pumping, like, for instance, we're, you know, locally or actually live in, well, myself and my brother do, live in Flint, Michigan. So in this area, it's so bad that they laid off, I think it was like 40 some police officers in the city, so that it's down to 5 police officers per shift.
Wow.
Yeah, when they laid off
the firefighters. We only have 2 open out of the 5 now, and then the trash pickup is every other week now.
Not only that, but this is what happened. Today was the day that the firefighters got laid off. There were 7 or 8 different, you know, fires this morning. Different ward, pretty much. And they say that this started as retaliation by these laid-off firefighters.
And I don't even think it's that. Pissed. I think it's just people doing it just in general just to prove a point.
Yes. They're pissed because they're losing their job because of bullshit. And, you know, they're saying, oh, they only kept their jobs this long because of the stimulus package. Well, I really don't know what to say about that. But people got to survive. The more jobs are cut, the worse the economy is going to get. It's a no-brainer. Somebody's got to have a risk of some sort. Somebody's got to take the risk, but nobody's willing to do it. You know, not even the banks. I mean, one thing we could have done, instead of bailing out the banks, we could have, you know, now, this could have been only a one-time thing, obviously, but we could have bailed out all the people that were in debt. It's like, hey, pay off, you know, use this money to pay off all your debts. And that way, not only would the consumer have had not been in debt anymore, they would have been out. So we're giving the banks their money back that they were losing. That's killing two birds with one stone. I don't know why anybody didn't think of that.
Yeah, this whole thing just it stinks. I mean, there's going to come a point where, you know, the government it's going to be like basically like the Borg off Star Trek.
Or if you've read George Orwell's 1984, it's going to be like Big Brother.
Well, I mean, they're going to be this big hive mind controlling everything, and there isn't a damn thing you can do to step away from it. You either go with the flow or you're gone.
They'd throw me in the gone section.
Yeah, they probably would, a lot of us. That's why there's such a big issue over this. I mean, there's so much. I mean, shit, they're laying off teachers, too. I mean, We can't afford to keep anything in this country that, you know, all these other countries are benefiting from us. You know, I mean, generation after generation, the intelligence rate as well as the will to work because of these systems that the government has put in place that people get to live off the system instead of, here we go, pop another baby out. Here we go, let's sit on our ass and live off welfare. You know, it's not like, and I'm not saying everybody abuses it because, you know, there's a lot of people that do need it. But
yeah,
at the same time,
legitimately, but.
But a lot of people just mooch off the system because that's the only way they can survive. Instead of giving people the means to get more, you know, money and pay, and to keep jobs and to keep everything flowing, you know, in the circle of life, we're going to end up in the, I don't know if you've seen the movie Idiocracy.
Oh, yes.
I mean, the intelligence rate down there, and then we're going to end up having barcodes in our arms or microchips, just so we can scan, like, credit cards and, healthcare and all that other crap, which, you know, if you go according to the Bible and that's
like the Antichrist, 7-year reign right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just everything in general is completely and utterly fucked.
You know, that's one thing that really pisses me off is the whole welfare thing. You know, it's one of those things where couples or, hell, even single females just go out, have all these babies, and get all this damn money, yet I'm sitting here poor as hell. I mean, yeah, I can go get a job at McDonald's or wherever, but still, it's like, you know.
It doesn't make enough.
Yeah, it doesn't make enough at all. Hell, Social Security isn't even enough. I've been on Social Security since I was, since I was born, but I mean, I just, like, me, myself, my young adult self, even though I'm fucking 30 now, I'm not a young adult anymore, but, like, I started getting it when I was, like, 18, 19, when I was gonna start going to college. And it's not enough at all. I mean, I barely make by every month. And, you know, I could go get a job to supplement it, but it's still gonna hurt the Social Security because they take, I think it's for every $2 I make, they take a dollar out of that check. So, you know, why the hell can't I get help as far as financial, not even financially, just grants, loans, whatever, to, for example, do this podcasting thing to be a little bit more professional with it. Yeah, I've probably spent maybe $200 for equipment overall, and that's just replacing headsets and microphones and all that stuff. That's not getting like sound mixers and any of the other crap that we would need for us to sound more professional. But I mean, they're giving everybody else a damn handout with all this stuff. Where the hell is mine?
Mm-hmm. Where's our bailout?
Exactly.
I mean, like, for instance, I'm working a full-time job and a part-time job, and my wife is working 2 to 3 part-time jobs because we can't make enough money. I mean, shit, she can't even get a full-time job because, it there's nothing left. I mean, everything's going away.
Full-time job does not exist anymore, pretty much.
No, I mean, and you're lucky as hell if you can find one.
Exactly. You know, it's not like what our parents grew up with. You know, at 19, they get out and go to the shop, and they're making a good wage, you know, hopefully for the rest of their life. At the time, they hope so. But that pretty much that life is gone. We gotta bust our ass now. Now, there's nothing wrong with a good hard work ethic, but being all these sappers do the same as we are.
Yeah, well, I mean, and for instance, you know, when I mentioned the fact that people are just popping up babies, I mean, shit, look at, like, Octomom, and then you got, like, cases 18 around.
18 and going, or 18 and counting.
Well, I'm sure they actually make their ends meet. I mean, I'm sure
well,
the show
well,
pays
they
them.
Probably do, but I was giving an example, TV show, not
well,
really
yeah,
show.
And
Giant Cape Plus 8.
Yeah, well, I mean, even they made ends meet. I mean, they're not even really an example like she that other Octomom.
Octomom's the biggest example of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we get that crap around Michigan all the time, but I mean, if you go to like Wisconsin, for instance, the more kids you have, the less welfare you get. You get, you know, X amount of dollars for one, they cut it in half for two, and three, you're done. You don't get it.
How much better is the economy than ours?
Yeah, well, I mean, and their state is actually booming because they're able to build businesses, and they have a lower crime rate. I mean, in certain areas, of course. I mean, it's going to be bad everywhere, but just overall, I mean, it's pretty sick to think about the fact that we're working our ass off for these people to mooch.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, shit, I'd love to sit on my ass and get paid.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
I mean, I would love nothing more than that, but...
At the other end of the spectrum, too, you got these people, and you know, for these people in Washington are pretty much a lot of the rich people who just have a lot of inherited or investments that they just sit on their money and pretty much contribute absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, this... I don't know. I just I wish that they would. There's got to be a better way of doing this whole healthcare reform and doing you know, just anything to revitalize our economy and our country.
Yeah.
Just overall, this whole thing just sucks.
You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, like we've been saying, you know, first of all, I mean, I can't go with too many details, but I work for a nonprofit child care facility who also caters to young adults. Okay, and one of our programs is a 6-month program that. We basically give them a free apartment for 6 months there to get a job and start saving money and everything else. You know, it's one of those things where the problem comes where they have all these friends who don't go out and get jobs and start mooching off of them, and then they go without, you know, what they need because they want to help these people. It's just that whole lifestyle where it's, like, okay, I've got this great apartment. I need to start keeping it. Oh, wait, no, I have this friend. And then that friend turns into that friend, and that friend turns into that friend. You have 16, 20 different people living in one-bedroom apartment, and it's just ridiculous.
It's a domino effect.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I don't know. It's – they need to actually consult – the people, instead of making so many damn decisions without us.
Yeah, it was blatantly obvious there was opposition to that they should have reconsidered a lot of things with this bill, and they just kept right on going. While you guys talk, I'm gonna go look for something that was said by Nancy Pelosi at one time, and when I saw it, it really pissed the hell out of me about her persistence.
Yeah, I can see something coming up in the future. I mean, yeah, we go to the drugstore and we get, you know, for instance, pain medicine or, you know, just any kind of prescription that – or over-the-counter drug. I can see at some point with this healthcare reform that they're going to require us to, you know, get doctor's notes for it. I mean, just crazy crap like that. I can see it coming down the pipeline if we keep this stupid reform. And as for the reform, I hope that, I mean, while it is a good thing, I think it would be a good thing to have just in general help out, buddy. Like, till recently, I wasn't able to get health insurance, which I could have used a lot earlier. But I think that they need to draw the reins in first, work this out a little bit more, and then bring it back and actually let the people vote on it once it's all been settled, after they give every freaking detail of how they're going to blow our money on it. Because I know that they're going to start taxing us for it again this year, and... at some point, they're going to actually live up to it. But I'm just hoping that this gets repealed.
Yeah, I'm going to see if you guys can hear this. I I loaded up on YouTube is Nancy Pelosi, what she is willing to do to pass health care. Hopefully you guys can hear this.
We go through the gates close, we'll go over the fence is too high, we'll pull all in, parachute in, but we're going to get health care reform passed for the American people, for their own personal health and economic security.
What I have to say to that is, yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, the Democrats are just so gung-ho on it.
In the words of Sylvester, that's a load of thuckatash.
In the words of Steve, that's a load of shit.
All right.
I will crush them. Yes. I don't know. What's that?
A lot of this is that pretty much the younger generation, you know, we're lucky people, but a lot of our generation, they grew up brainwashed because of the whole consumerism marketing. They grew up thinking that I want to be rich when I grow up, and with this fantasy, false expectations of what real life is, and unfortunately, some of them are not willing to realize they're failing to realize that all they're doing is putting off their culture shock. You know, reality is going to hit them in the face one way or another. Ignorance is bliss until reality hits you in the face.
Now, I can see where this healthcare reform would be a good thing. For instance, for people that are very ill, or you know, they're older, or if it's a newborn or a child, I can see that. I can understand that, you know, completely, of having them automatically covered. But as far as the working class, for them to charge us on top of it, I just.
It's not the government's job to force us into having health care.
You know what really pisses me off about the whole...
I was talking to a classmate the other day in one of my classes, and she was talking about, well, they do the same thing with car insurance. I'm like, yeah, but they only make you pay car insurance if you have a car. There's, you know, pretty much, if you're alive, they're going to charge you for health care. And it's like, shouldn't it be my choice whether or not I want health care? What if I don't want health care? What if I don't want their health care? They're still going to make me get it one way or another, or pay for it one way or another, to, even if I'm not using it.
Well, they'll take it out of your taxes for, you know, regardless. But, I mean, I think if you've already got health care, they're not going to, like, double it up on you and make you, you know, take it out of your paycheck or whatever. But it's
They say that everybody's got the right to health care. It's like, no, it's not a right. It's a privilege. You know, if the government provides a right, it also means they can take it away. And it's a slippery slope. Let's say that, okay, we want everybody in the United States to have a car, but you can only have more than one car if everybody else can have more than one car. So what does that mean to you if they pass some law saying that every household can have a car, but with socialism, everything's got to be equal. If you got two cars in your house, they're going to make you pick one, and they're going to take the other home with – or they're going to take the other one with them to the station. And, like, if they say everybody's entitled to have a computer in their house, it's like, okay. Well, if you have three of them in your house, they're going to make sure that you have just as much as – they don't have anything more than what the person next door has. So that means if you have excess of anything – you know, they aren't going to care. They're going to take it, you know, until you match the lowest of the low.
Communism, anyone?
Exactly. And what it should be is it should be tailored to each individual situation, not one big...
Well, and I think that's what they're trying to go for. But, you know, it's still too hard to see at this point in time.
You know, one of the things... About the child welfare thing you guys had mentioned earlier, one of the things that really pisses me off when I read in Reader's Digest about families with young children or babies or whatever, you know, kids that are anywhere from, you know, brand new newborns to 9, 10 years old that, say, get born with a condition, and the health insurance or whatever will not cover them because, quote unquote, it's a pre-existing condition. That is the worst fucking excuse I have ever heard of.
That's called the government saying, basically, fuck you for being different.
Exactly. They allow absolutely, you know, no deviance whatsoever from what they define as the norms.
Well, and there's no accountability on their end either.
Well, of course, they're the government.
Well, yeah, they've elected the police. I mean, they're not going to – nothing's going to change.
You know, people need to realize that, you know, next time they go to the election booth, it's not going to matter whether you elect the R, the D, the red, or the blue. You have to go outside of the norm in the two-party system and vote for a third party if you want anything to change. You have to vote for the person that's outspoken, because the one getting all the publicity is with all the money and all the special interests.
Well, and especially with when you get a damn it, I forgot what I was going to say. But it would be nice to see something other than Republican and Democrat in there that could actually maybe, you know, throw us a curveball and actually change things and actually listen to the people instead of saying, yeah, everybody should have this, everybody should have that, everybody should have this, and here we're going to blow all this money on it just because we think that's where.
Well, we came very close in 1992 and 1996 with Ross Perot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we had a bunch of independents in this latest election as well. But I see that number doubling over the next election anyhow.
You know what? I don't know. I am so far out of – honestly, as far as politics goes, I mean, we can talk about healthcare and just general government stuff all we want. But me personally, as far as I feel about politics, it doesn't matter who – it doesn't matter where they came from, who they are, what nationality, what color. They could be fucking purple aliens from Pluto. And all politicians are corrupt. Everybody has an agenda. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants that. And like I said before, I think it just needs to be tailored to the situation. You cannot put a outwardly global thing saying, this is what we're doing and that's it. If you don't like it, whatever.
Exactly.
And as I stated on Facebook before, Canada, anyone?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's like it's time to move.
Yeah, everything is unfortunately going to that point in time. I mean, we're focusing too much on other countries and not enough on ourselves, and too much on how to spend this money that we don't actually have on these new little ideas that supposedly will benefit us, when right at this moment the Social Security is paying out more than what is going in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not only that, they stopped it this year. They're apparently nationwide, there was no cost of living increase this year. And the way that the Social Security system works with the cost of living is that if the cost of living goes up, the checks go up. If it stays the same, the check will stay the same as the previous year. Or if it goes down, which would really fucking suck, especially for me, if it goes down, the check will go down. Since there was no cost of living increase this year, my check is the same as it was last year, but like I said before, it's still not enough. As far as government stuff, you know, I mean, I guess you could say I have a job as far as real life, but I really don't get paid for it. I get more benefit out of it than actual pay. I haven't filed taxes in God knows how long. I have no reason to. I don't make any money outside of Social Security. And obviously Social Security is part of the government, so the IRS must know that I have Social Security. I don't fucking know. But it's like one of those things where, it's one of those things where, you know, I got, the census thing in the mail the other day. Big bold mm-hmm. letters on it says, you must fill this out as required by law. Fuck you. That's what I say. Fuck you.
Because I know people that haven't filled it out. And
I've never seen one.
You won't get one. You don't live on your own. It's to the head of household.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you won't get one until you move out. This is the first time I've gotten one, and that's only because I'm on my own, and it's 2010. Of course, the 10-year mark. So, I mean, it's...
So it'll be 2020.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, it's bullshit that you're being forced to. I mean, I understand that it's used for funding purposes, but what the hell does it matter? Send the money where it's got to go, because... we don't have enough of actual, you know, government-hired officials. And when I say officials, I don't mean these bullshit people that sit in City Hall and say, this is what we should do, as they're sitting there with a thumb up their ass trying to figure out what to do next. This money that we've given to some of the construction workers, I've seen them sit outside of my primary job, which I'm not going to name. I've seen them sit outside, and they come out, you know, every few months, and going to tear up the damn road because they can't seem to get it right the first time. They've been out probably 8 times in the last 2 years to fix this same plot of land because, of course, they're retarded. And they get paid hourly, and then they get overtime. And most of the time, we don't actually see them do anything. So it makes me wonder why they pay these douchebags all this money, and then we're firing cops.
You know, that's the other thing. You guys mentioned that you have, like, what, 5 cops in your town or your province or whatever the hell they're called over there. Our Louisville Metro, because I live in Louisville, Kentucky, Louisville Metro Police Department, you know what the average response time is?
What?
40 minutes.
Good grief.
You know what the average one in Flint, Michigan is?
2 hours?
Yeah, pretty much, unless you tell them you got a gun.
That's the thing. Unless you tell them somebody's got a gun.
About,
yeah.
And then I live in Grand Blanc, which is only like, you know, 20 Covered. Minutes from there. And we've got cops all over the damn place, yet somehow that city looks pretty damn good, except for, I mean, the roads, which is kind of federally helped. But we have cops all around. There's no crime out there. There's businesses booming. I mean, everything's pretty damn stable in that city. But when you go to Flint, I mean, it's completely run down. There's people can't even afford to buy a damn car anymore. I mean, or can't afford to buy, I mean, jack shit. And you got to have credit, which, let me see. The banks have fucked everybody's credit. So even if you have good credit, you got to jump through extra loops just to get money. I mean, this.
You know, 10, 15 years ago, you could go to a Ford dealership and you could look at a Ranger or the F-150 or some sort of Ford truck. And it would be a reasonable price, like, say, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000. You go there now, and just the regular vehicles, not even the custom luxury things, just a regular Ford pickup truck, is like $20,000, $25,000, $30,000. That's fucking nuts.
And you trim $10,000 off of that once you drive it off the lot? Just some.
Well, I mean, that's a little bit of an understatement, but I mean, it's like right now, I mean, I work at one, so I mean, it's a little bit different. They, 6 months ago, back when they did that Cars for Clunkers, cars were freaking cheap. Mm-hmm. Now, because the government decided to stick their nose in there, I mean, yeah, it was a good thing getting those vehicles off the road, but because they did that, and then they couldn't get their shit together when they did it because they changed the way it was supposed to be filed, like, every couple days for the first, like, week. So, and then their site would crash constantly, so you couldn't actually accomplish anything. The cars were much cheaper back then. Right now, they're ungodly high. And I can understand why that's not doing so hot. And then you've got the recent, you know, of course, companies like Toyota, which have, you know, up until recent, had to fix every single one of their model lines because of a stupid gas pedal, which I still think is an electrical slash computer programming issue,
mm-hmm.
Which they're trying to use the pedal as a cop-out. But, I mean, it just everybody's willing to push the blame. Nobody's willing to take, you know, acceptance and just say, hey, yeah, we fucked up. How can we make this up?
Yeah, that's just stupid.
Any other comments or anything? Anybody?
It's kind of funny you mentioned the cash for clunkers thing. I saw something on the news when that happened. It's the news. You don't know if you can believe it or not. But mentioned something about some computers that access the cash for clunkers website. There's a little provision that people failed to read that said if you log on this website, your computer now belongs to the government.
They just mean the information you're transmitting belongs to the government. It doesn't mean the actual computer.
Probably a miscommunication then.
No, I'm sure they meant what they said. They think that they're high and mighty when, yes, they are high and mighty, but at the same time, they're sticking their nose too many damn places instead of just doing what they need to do and staying the hell out.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, you know, we're not going to win what we want to win. We're not going to get what we want to get. We're going to get what they want to give us, and that sucks.
Yeah, pretty much if I had the resources, the gas, the money, the job, et cetera, saved up, I'd be one of those people in D.C. right now, you know, promoting the Tea Party.
I'd create my own party. It would be the Predacons.
Oh, God.
I would terrorize their life.
Oh, boy.
No, I'd be Vengeance in the Night. I'd be Batman.
Oh, my God.
No evil would stand unturned.
Yeah.
You're on a picture.
I'm joking, of course, but you know what I mean. I mean, just they need to scale back. Pull everything back home. Deal with home first. You know, pull all the soldiers back.
We need another Reagan.
We need somebody that's going to do something completely different and stay the hell out of everybody else's countries and go back to the isolationism, which, by the way, nobody decided to screw with us until after we started doing that. After we started sticking our nose where it didn't belong, you know, instead of just going in after somebody screwed us and bomb them, get it over with, come back, and then stay the hell away from them and rebuild, no, we sit there and we have to instigate more shit.
Yeah, we did that in the Soviet Union, even as far back as Kennedy, and we had the Cold War going on until the collapse of the Soviet Union, and Soviet Union is a perfect example why socialism doesn't work also.
Yeah, it's just...
All it was is a hollow shell. That's what we look like right now. Our nation looks high and mighty, but we're actually just a hollow shell. You break the egg, still.
Well, I mean, technically, we're on our way to almost becoming, you know, second, third world country because we don't actually own jack shit. Everything is made out of the country. You know, Malaysia, Taiwan, China, Japan, you know, somewhere. I mean, it just, and on top of it, well, shit, Mexico too. But, I mean, it's just... Nothing is here. We're a service nation. Nothing is left.
Yeah, a lot of the downhill started also when they took the gold standard off of our currency. You know, it all started with Johnson and Nixon, and now all our money is just papers worth nothing, and that's why our inflation rates. You know, if you go back to I forgot what this. It's called the CPI, this Consumer Price Index, has changed so much ever since they took the gold standard off. And it's like, now we can't even... One, because we don't own any of our gold anymore. Fort Knox and whatnot is probably owned by China, Saudi Arabia, anybody we owe money to. You know, there's no way that we'll be able to come back from that.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole thing just stinks.
Yeah, it's like, kind of funny how Obama tries to mention that the healthcare thing works in Canada. Well, the only reason it works in Canada is because they only have 10% of the population that the United States has. Of course it's going to work. Even then, their system's not perfect. People, you know, die waiting 5 or 6 months in line just to see a doctor.
Well, some of their health care is mediocre at best.
Yeah, a lot of people in Canada across the border of the United States just to get medical help because they know they're going to get it. But now, with people that may or may not actually need to be there, and because people are saying, well, you need to build more hospitals. Well, it's like it's kind of hard to do that when there's no money to build any.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't understand why they can't come up with a solution to things that are cost effective and yet fulfill the need. And to tell you the truth, it all starts with jobs. They need to create new jobs here in the U.S. to kind of scale back and bring these companies that originally they drove away back in, give them incentive to come back, and then give them American workers who can afford to buy the product and make it American.
Yeah.
Because along the way, we've lost the American way. It's just everything's gone.
Yeah.
There's two things. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Brian. I was just agreeing with Steve.
Yeah, well, there's two things that we need to do. First of all, we need to manufacture something in this country, and it has to be something tangible. You know, we have to bring, like, factories and whatnot back here. So we are actually producing, exporting something tangible to not only to us but to other countries. And second of all, we have all these rules and regulations that all these factories and companies have to follow, and each one of those in itself costs its own amount of money. It's like no wonder it's cheaper to produce outside of our country because you have all these different regulations, like, you know, the EPA and all those others that are going to put all these restrictions on you if you don't follow these guidelines, which a lot of times it's not cheap to follow those guidelines in the first place. It, you know, because of these regulations, it makes no financial sense to stay here, and that's why they're moving.
Comments, anyone?
Well, it's one of those, you know, you're right, Brian, but the thing is, now that you said that, you mentioned the EPA, the first thing that pops, unfortunately, because I'm a geek, the first thing that pops into my head is Grandpa Simpson going crazy on the church floor, and the next thing you know, Springfield's in a dome. We need to put a giant fucking dome on the United States of America.
Biodomes for everyone. With special garage door action.
What I want to know is how they manage to keep an atmosphere in there.
I don't know.
Christmas at Ground Zero.
Okay, we're kind of getting a little silly here. Do we have any more serious topic pointers or whatever that we want to bring up?
No, I think I'm about spent unless Brian's got more to discuss.
Well, I don't have very, very much left, but we could probably talk about how what our culture has trained children to be in the past, ever since the 80s, I'd have to say. And going back to the whole commercialism thing and growing up wanting to be rich, but what is that? I see society as a hierarchical pyramid, pretty much, with the poor at the bottom and at the base, and the middle class in the middle, and the rich at the very top. And the higher you go, the less people there are with that amount of wealth, and also the worse your job security is, and the more dangerous your job is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The welfare system meant to be a temporary relief when someone can't find a job or work. You know, like my girlfriend's dad is a carpenter. He hasn't had a union job in 2 years, and that's pretty much the only skill he's got. He just does the No Worker Left Behind program to continue going to school, but they only give him just enough to pay his unemployment's been getting extended, but he doesn't know for how long. You know, it's unfair, and because he's in his late 40s, you know, he can't really find another job or skill anyways because a lot of the jobs are age discriminatory. They don't see a future with someone who's, you know, that old already. So they're not going to invest their time in him. They're not going to hire him.
And that's what's kind of sad because, and again, the geek in me is flashing to Uncle Ben in Spider-Man 1, where he's looking through the want ads and it's tech this and computer that and whatever else. Honestly, I see most elderly people nowadays when I do attempt to step outside my apartment, which regrettably isn't that much anymore because people this day and age in general are just dumb and have no common sense. I see most
intellect has gone way down.
I see most elderly people working at fast food joints.
Yes, as sad as that is, I do too.
Work at a fast food area too, and two main managers have been there for over 30 years. They both knew each other and been there since the 70s.
Yep.
And their first and second manager.
Yeah, see, I couldn't imagine myself being in the same place.
I could if it paid.
Yeah. Then again, we all can't have jobs at Apple.
Well, see, I'm going to school to become an accountant. I grew up, you know, liking numbers and whatnot. And Steve can tell you this: I used to do his homework when he was in first grade. I wasn't barely in kindergarten yet. He'd go over to a friend's house, and I would do his math homework. He'd come back, and even my name would be on it. He'd be pretty mad at me. But
thief.
I kind of find it ironic that I'm going into accounting now. That I, you know, have my, a lot of us have our, and the thing is that a lot of accountants and whatnot are retiring now, and it's in big demand, but problem is, well, I'm not going to be able to find a job in Michigan, for example, because there's 5,000 accountant students in Michigan, and there's only like 1,500 jobs. So that means there's a 70% chance that I'd have to move out of Michigan to even find a job.
You know what that means? Work for the government. Teach them how to finance or manage their damn money.
You know what? Well, it's like pretty much anybody else would tell me good luck with that. Because they're going to want it their way and their way only. And, you know, I've got an uncle who's been down up and down every block. And if the company offers him more money, he goes from job to job, just climbing his way up the ladder. But he's been dropped from a few jobs because, you know, I agree with this. You know, you have to have ethics. Now, in some instances, yeah, you may show that you got fired from some jobs, but it also gives you a track record, man, and that you mean business. It'll give you a good reputation. You know, it's like, hey, this person got fired because they did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we know that this person did the right thing, we can trust them to do their job. You know, that's the kind of worker we need. We need somebody with a good work ethic. And not this me mentality.
You know, the only reason why I have, this is just me personally, the only reason why I have the whole me mentality at this point in time is because, like I said before, a little while ago, everybody else is getting helped but me.
Well, see, I agree with that.
That's the reason why I have the me mentality. On it, you know, my mom will call me and say, oh, did you see this on the news? Or, oh, did you see that on the news? Or, I don't watch the news. The news is so depressing nowadays. I would have much rather, like, I don't know, I was 6, 7 years old when Reagan was still in office. I could actually sit there as a 7-year-old and watch Ronald Reagan do a speech, whereas now, if I'm watching a news channel, my brain will explode because I just can't stand to watch it.
I can't anymore either. I've watched the news since 2003, and the only one I can actually watch is Fox News.
I can't even watch them.
Oh, that's because they like to spout what they want. And...
Well, it's a lot better. One I would not be able to stand at all is MSNBC. That's like the liberals' love affair.
Dun-dun, Microsoft.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's pissing me off is the whole PC versus Mac. I grew up on it. I mean, I know this is almost completely off the topic of what we're discussing, but, you know, it's like this whole I'm better than – it goes back to class, like what Brian was saying earlier, the whole class pyramid thing. You know, it's like, oh, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. It's just sick. You know, if you're a PC person, you're a PC person. If you're a Mac person, you're a Mac person. If you're both, fine. I grew up on Mac. My first computer was an Apple IIgs. That was the choice I made. I had a choice between Apple and IBM. And I made the choice of Apple. I used Apple up until, I don't know, middle school or whatever, and then I switched to PC, and I've been PC ever since. I love a lot of the Apple products, but and while I think their commercials are hilarious, I just don't get the whole tech war of PC versus Mac. It is just one of those things where it's a very soft version of the whole class issue. It's like, who's a better class? Well, no, they each have their own. They each have their own components, and they each have their own strengths and weaknesses. You know, neither one is better than the other. But anyways, basically the government sucks, and the healthcare horror that this dumbass president has put us in is just a nightmare that we will never escape. Especially when, you know,
it's not just the president.
Huh?
It's not just the president either. It's our Speaker of the House as well. It's a team effort.
It's all them damn bureaucrats that sit in the office and say, fucked up today.
I was looking for that word earlier, bureaucrats. It pretty much alienates the rest of us.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things where the sad fact about the presidency of this country is that it's nothing but a catch-up game. You know, Obama just got into office. He will spend his entire hopefully not 8-year term, catching up and hopefully trying to do some good from Bush's mistakes. And then whenever he's gone, the next president will do the same thing, trying to fix. We will never be ahead of ourselves in this United States government. Never. I can equate it to podcasting. I was mentioning to Steve earlier today, before we even started this discussion this morning, one of my shows, I have a backlog of episodes, so I'm ahead of the game. This country, as far as the national debt, as far as the government itself, will never ever get ahead of itself. It is going to be nothing but a catch-up game until the end of time, which is sad.
Yes, very, very much.
And on that note, I think we're going to close this show.
Because it's getting sad. Very, very much.
Okay, Steve, you can stop now.
All right.
Okay, I recommend our viewers our listeners to check out Glenn Beck's radio and TV show, though. It's on Fox News Channel weekdays at 5. If you miss it, it's on again at 2 in the morning. You know, this really gives you something to think about, though, what this guy says. I get a lot of my information from him. And I've watched many of his shows in the past year, and I recommend getting the whole family to watch it and spread the 9/12 Project, you know, the group for taking back America and restoring it to the fundamental roots. And that's pretty much what I have to say here.
Yeah.
Only thing is, when they do that, I hope that they abolish this electoral counts and go with the popular, because the electoral was for back in the day when people couldn't think for themselves and couldn't read and write.
Exactly.
And the officials elected each other, whereas now that popular vote, which they enacted around the same time, because that was originally how things were supposed to be done, was, you know, popular vote, okay, we'll make the electoral vote, you know. But now it's just the electoral vote, and a lot of times I'd rather see it as the popular.
Yeah, see, a lot of it has to do, it's just, you know, it depends on how the electoral college was. Let's just say that, you know, you have, you know, 96% Republican and 4% Democrat. If your person on the Electoral College Board is a Democrat, he's going to vote for that 4% alienated. You know, they can do that, whether people know it or not. And you can't even vote those people out of any positions or anything. You know, they're just there.
Yep. All right, so we have all new outro text. Yay, I went back and redid the entire outro. So, thank you for joining us here on GCRN Wars, the premiere episode. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, and you can also comment on each episode. You can join our forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. You can leave the show feedback in iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. I'm not actually going to create an account for this show. I'm just going to have it under the Geekcast Radio account. Mine is TFG1Mike. Brian, do you have Twitter?
I do, but I haven't used it in months.
Okay, Steve.
I do have. Oh, but I don't usually. I'm not as good socially as my brother is, obviously. I only had 6 people on Twitter. I'm like, what the hell? Who the fuck is seeing any of this, anyways? That's pretty much the last thing I left on. It was back in like November. if anybody wants this, BrianP928, I think that's what it is. That's how long it's been since I've been on it, but don't expect any replies more than likely, as I haven't been on it.
Okay. And Steve?
SCP21.
You can become a fan of ours on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. We will play each voicemail in the next episode of whatever show. Number is 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of GCRN Wars and wish you'll join us next time. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips
and
Ryan Phillips.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.